Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. The Titans, as Ian said, having their first padded practice tomorrow. Very exciting. We shall see if that will be what cures the offensive line. I doubt it, but hey, who knows? But did anybody see the video on Saturday after practice was over? Not of what happened at practice, but of Arden Key talking to Paul Kaharsky. It kind of, Ian, did you see the video or just hear the audio from the video?
I didn't actually watch the entire video. I saw the tweet that he put out there and the still shot of Key before he spoke, but I didn't actually play the video.
Okay, so it kind of looked like a hostage video, but at the same time, it was Arden Key staring right into Paul's phone. And again, let's go back to, you know, where this all started, which was about 2 weeks ago on Instagram. Arden Key put out there that nobody on the Titans listens to Paul or cares about Paul or something. And we know that that all came after Paul Kaharsky went on that giant rant about how you're not as big of a Titans fan as you think you are if you're rooting for the Ravens to have success with Derrick Henry, which Paul is right about. But that's what got Arden Key all mad. And so he put out there on social media, nobody listens to Paul, nobody cares about Paul, whatever it was. And Arden Key addressed it with Paul on Saturday. Here's what he said.
Hey, me and Paul had a conversation. We talked. We hashed everything out. He made a tweet, and he did it from his understanding. I took it a different way, and he explained himself on what he meant on the Twitter thing he said about Derek. That's where what my message came from what he said about Derek. He explained himself. I explained myself. We talked like men, looked each other in the eye, and we made up.
Anybody got a problem with that? I don't. So Arden Key looked right into the camera, and he said he misunderstood Paul, and that after talking to Paul, they hashed it out, and it's all good. Maybe Arden Key still hates Paul. I have no idea. But from that, it didn't sound like it. Maybe Arden Key's just trying to move on. So he said what he needed to say to let it go. Or maybe Arden really didn't understand Paul, and when they hashed it out, said, oh, okay, now I understand what you're saying. Yeah, screw the Ravens. I'm on your side, Paul. Whatever. It's over. And Arden Key looks like a grown-up for how he handled the situation. He lashed out. Paul went and basically confronted him about it, I would assume. And Arden, after they hashed it out, decided to let bygones be bygones. Again, maybe they did come to a mutual understanding. I mean, I think Paul is in the right on this. Maybe they did come to a mutual understanding. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. But regardless, what Arden Key said was enough for me to say, okay, that's how a professional handles their business. That's how you end something that you probably shouldn't have started to begin with. Now let's compare that with Jeffrey Simmons, who after the Titans signed Jamal Adams, went to Twitter to lash out at the local media and the fact that they rip on the Titans and decisions they make and they try to be our friends. And when I asked Jeffrey Simmons about that last week.
Speaking of Twitter, you a couple weeks ago had some criticism for us.
Not speaking on that. I'm moving on.
I'm not speaking on that. I'm moving on. So again, on one hand, we have Arden Key looking right in there saying, hey, Paul and I talked it out. I originally didn't like the tweet that he had about Derrick Henry, but after he explained it and he and I talked it out, I totally understand where he's coming from. It's water under the bridge. The end. And the other guy says, I'm not talking about it. Folds his arm, turns around. I'm not talking about it. Let me ask you this. Which one of those two is supposed to be the leader of the team? It's not Arden Key. Which one bragged last week in the same interview about how good of a leader he is? I'm the one who breaks us down in the huddle before the games. Again, it wasn't Arden Key. Jeffrey Simmons is supposed to be the leader of the team. And he can't be accountable for what he said on Twitter. Arden Key is not a leader of the team. Arden Key's job is sack the quarterback. I think there's one person that I know of in the history of the world that has an Arden Key jersey. There's Simmons jerseys everywhere. The Titans promote Simmons. But all he can say is, I'm not talking about it. And Arden Key can address it. See, leadership isn't just about being a good player. Leadership is about accountability. It's easier when you're a good player to get everybody to listen to you because you carry the stick of being such a good player. But the idea of everyone being Steve McNair, a great player that can play through any injury, that rallies an entire city around him, that's not as simple as it seems. Tom Brady is more of the exception than he is the rule. And if you even go back to those Patriot teams when they started that dynasty, the leaders were McGinnis, Brewski, Vrabel. They weren't necessarily Tom Brady off the jump. So in one instance, we have Arden Key, a role player, technically a starter, but if the Titans were a good team, he probably wouldn't be starting, putting his hand in the air and saying, my bad, it's all good. On the other hand, we have Simmons, who will not address the controversy that he started. Remember when Mike Vrabel used to talk all the time about how we don't have any front runners? Do you know what he meant by that? One thing he said early in his tenure that really stuck out to me. There are two things Vrabel said very early in his tenure as a Titans coach that really stood out to me that I still remember to this day. The first has nothing to do with this, but it is if you worry about the job that you don't have, you won't do the job that you do have. And I think that's a very, very insightful line. The other was culture's not about when you win. Culture is about when you lose. Anybody can have a good culture when you win. Have you ever seen the Wall Street hedge funds when they're making money? Everybody's happy. Go into those offices in 2008 after Bear Stevens had to default. See what happens. Culture is about when things are bad. Culture is not about when things are good. So Vrabel's whole point about we don't have any front runners is we don't have people on this team that only show up and only do the right thing when things are going well for them. We've got guys that show up and do the right thing all the time, no matter what. Simmons seems to me to be a front runner. And quite frankly, I'm sick of it. Simmons loves to talk when things are going well. Simmons loves to talk when he's playing well. He loves to talk when he gets his contract. But where is Simmons when things aren't going well? Because again, that's what leadership is. Where is he when he's the center of negative attention? Remember the Marshall Yanda rumors? Marshall Yanda, the all-pro guard for the Ravens, came out and said, that's the dirtiest player in the NFL. He spit in my mouth during the games. Simmons doesn't want to talk about it. Won't talk about it. Again, is that leadership? When it comes to being a leader, there's a story Tom Brady told that I, again, like the Vrabel quotes, think is pretty insightful. Matt Cassel tells it that one day in practice they ran a play and Matt Cassel forgot the backside of the motion on the other side of the formation and they ran the play and completed the pass anyways and Brady lit him up for forgetting about the motion on the backside of the formation. And when Matt Cassel looked at Brady and said, who cares, Tom? We completed the pass. Brady said, you're the quarterback. If you can't be accountable for running the play right, you can't hold anybody else accountable. That's leadership. So Jeffrey Simmons should be embarrassed when he looks at another guy who did the exact same thing he did. A guy who's a fringe starter, who's an average player in the NFL, who literally in the back corner of the stadium in the bowels had a hash it out with Paul and took that hostage video and said right there, we're all good. We hashed it out. I understand where he's coming from. It's over. Simmons should be embarrassed. And I can promise you he's not. I can promise you this is going to be, if it gets back to him, and I'm sure it probably will, it's going to be, oh, that Jared Stillman, that mean old Jared Stillman. Not. You could have said, If you had a problem with the media, you could have said what your problem was. If you wanted to end it the way Arden Key ended it, you could have ended it by saying right then and there, yeah, I just got emotional because I was so excited about the Jamal Adams signing because I think Jamal Adams is such a good player, and I saw you guys being down about it, and I understand you got to do your jobs, but I just disagree about it. And so for me, I shouldn't have sent that, and I apologize to you guys, and I understand you guys have jobs to do, and I appreciate all of you. That's all he's got to say. Instead, it's, I'm not talking about that. Yeah, that's great leadership, buddy. That's the guy I want breaking the team down. Yeah, you're the leader when you play well. When not, you cry in the corner like a crybaby. Yeah, got it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Let's get to your phones if you want to weigh in on this. Plus, there's another thing about Jeffrey Simmons that honestly bothers me more than this, and it really doesn't have anything to do with the media, but it does bother me about Simmons. And also, we'll touch on that and get to your phones, and we'll do it next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
How big is this season for Jeffrey Simmons in your mind? And where is he as a player in this league?
He's not where he thinks he is as a player in this league. And he's not where – I don't know where Callahan and Ben Bloom think he is. I know what they think he can be. I know what the previous staff thought. And look, he's not lived up to expectations the last 2 years. He's had his moments. The injuries have slowed him down and hurt him. But when Danico Autry was not beside him, when Danico Autry was hurt, he was not the player that he's fessed up to be. And there are a lot of interior defensive linemen who rate ahead of him at this stage. Can be a dominant player.
A lot. A lot. What's a lot?
10, 12.
10 or 12, said PK, in regards to Simmons. I don't know if I would say 10 or 12. I will say this. I'd rather have Chris Jones. I'd rather have Quinnen Williams. I'd rather have Justin Matabike. And the reason why I'd rather have those guys is because they get to the quarterback. Jeffrey Simmons' career high in sacks is 8.5. He averages about 7 sacks a season, and that's forgetting about 2019 and 2020. 8.5 in 21, 7.5 in 22, 5.5 last year. That's not good enough. So while I'm criticizing Jeffrey Simmons for the fact that he wants to be a leader of the team, but he won't address the controversy that he starts, whereas Arden Key can, my other issue is he needs better stats. He needs to start playing better. In my opinion, Jeffrey Simmons is a good player. Now, I think he's kind of a secret whiner. You know, always complains about other players and other teams, always thinks that he's not getting enough respect, his teammates aren't getting enough respect, that kind of stuff. But he needs to be the difference maker that at times, he played a Sunday night football game in 2021 against the Rams, and he was the best player on the field. And that Rams team won the Super Bowl. So he's got the juice in him. He just doesn't do it enough. And as the GM used to say, there's only one way a defensive lineman gets noticed and a defensive lineman gets paid. Sacking the quarterback. You can be a great run-stuffing defensive tackle, like Ted Washington. But there's a cap for how much people spend on that. For instance, DJ Reader of the Lions. Big old fat run-stuffing DT, and he's great at it. He's making $10 million this year, and he's going to make $11 million next year. That's the cap. Simmons is in the 20s, not the 10s. So when it comes to getting after the quarterback, that's another thing Jeffrey Simmons is going to need to do. Because everybody around here talks about him like he's great. He's good. He needs to get to 10 sacks. Until then, he's a good player that has potential to be a better player than he is, but he hasn't realized it yet. 10 sacks, that's what the good guys get to. And if Simmons wants to be one of those guys, he needs to get those sacks. Until then, to me, he's just like every other DT in the league. You know, every other solid defensive tackle in the NFL. Like Daron Payne in Washington. That's what he is. Go sack the quarterback. Now you're in the Chris Jones, Quinnen Williams discussion. Chris Jones, and I know Mahomes gets all the hype, Chris Jones is an incredible player in those big games for Kansas City. I don't think they can do this without Chris Jones. I think they can do it without Kelce. I don't think they can do it without Jones. They're going to try to do it without Snead. I don't think they can do it without Jones. Simmons is a good player. So when the team's great, he's good. When the team's bad, he's good. But he's never really elite. And everybody around here wants to talk about him like he's elite, and he's not there yet. He needs 10 sacks. And so, I agree with Paul on that front, too, that, hey, he's probably not where he thinks he is and where the Titans talk about him like he is. He's probably not that kind of player yet. And, you know, somebody texts into the text line and says, there goes your access to Simmons. And I'm like, first of all, I don't have any access to Simmons anyways. Much also, I don't care about that. You know, here's the truth. You can either get all the access and not tell people the truth, or you can tell people the truth and know it's going to piss them off, and thus you're probably not going to have that quote-unquote inside access that somebody else has. I heard Diana Russini today. I could not believe she was bragging about this. I mean, this is embarrassing. Like, I heard this, like, Joe Rexroad, I want you to hear this, because this is your colleague we're talking about, who, no matter how much she gets lied to and reports it, you will not ever admit that she was lied to. But Diana Russini told a story today that she got Saquon Barkley on her podcast. You know, she got a new podcast that's out. Ryan Tannehill was on it last week. She got Saquon Barkley on her podcast. And she admitted and talked about this like it was a good thing, that the reason that Saquon Barkley did her podcast was because at one point in time, she had a negative story about Saquon Barkley and did not run it. I'm like, my God, like, just tell everybody, hey, I'm a phony. Like, if you want me to kill a story, I'm not a real journalist, like an investigative reporter. Could you imagine if Woodward and Bernstein were like, oh yeah, psh, all right, give us something better and we won't report Watergate. Come on. Oh my God, it's embarrassing. So the idea of having access to the players, I don't care about that, because it doesn't make for a good show anyways. I mean, look, every now and then, there's a player who's important enough to sit down and ask serious questions on the record, and there are moments for that. But if you can't, if you have to only ask nice things in order to get somebody to be on your show, no one's going to want to listen to that. So at the Super Bowl, we sat down with Will Levis, we asked real questions. And if Will got mad about it, like, he might not come back on the show, but it doesn't bother me. Because players don't say much anyways. It's like Simmons. I'm not talking about that. Okay. But yeah, no, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the Titans are good if I don't think they're good, just so that I can get people to come on the show, because I don't think that that helps. And not only that, I mean, look, I tell all the coaches when they get hired, like, hey, man, like, I'm going to say what I think, and you might not like it. And if you don't like it, I understand. Like, but if I don't like it, then I'm just going to say it. And that's just how it's going to be. I cannot believe that Diana Russini admitted to killing a Saquon Barkley story in order to get a favor to have him go on her podcast. That is so shameful. Diana should be embarrassed. And I'm probably the only person that heard that and thought, oh my God. Like, just light your own credibility on fire. Oh my God. Kyle in Shelbyville said that apparently when she was on her interview, he said in the YouTube chat, ready, steady, Vrabel. Unbelievable. Texter into the text line says, I can't believe what I'm about to say, but I completely agree with you regarding Jeffrey Simmons. He needs to be better in all aspects. That comes from Casey in Gallatin. I have to be honest with you. When it comes to Simmons, And I'm getting mad about the accountability thing. A lot of people are going to interpret that as Jared's mad that he didn't answer his question. I don't care about that. I've said 1,000 times, I can't control what somebody says. You know, sometimes I will ask somebody, well, why didn't you ask Vrabel after the Jags game about his job status when Ian Rappaport's on TV talking about how there's a sentiment that he might not be back? How could you not get there and ask him that? Well, what's he going to say? I don't know. Ask him. So that's how I feel when it comes to asking questions. I have no idea. When Barry Trotz comes on the program, and again, going back to the Diana thing, I mean, I've made it abundantly clear to both the Predators and Barry that, like, I like Barry. I think he's doing a good job. But, like, if things start to go haywire, those Tuesday interviews, you know, those questions are going to be a little bit more contentious because things aren't going well. And I think they know that. I think they understand it. And I appreciate that from them. But again, like, I ask a question. I don't know where he's gonna what he's going to say. So when it comes to Simmons, like, his non-answer told me all I needed to know. And that was that he wasn't going to be accountable for what he tweeted. And that's fine. That's his business. But you can't be a leader and not be accountable. You can't hold everybody else accountable and not be accountable yourself. Adam in Portland says, at this point, Jeffrey Simmons has a chance to be Albert Haynesworth for the Titans or Albert Haynesworth in Washington. Not sure there will be an in-between. Either he will dominate or he will be a major disappointment. I'm going to tell you this about Simmons. I think the talent is there. Like, for him to be a 10-sack guy, for him to disrupt games, for him to win games for you, I think it exists. But I don't know, because everybody kisses his ass so much and everybody's so afraid of pissing him off. I don't know that he'll feel the need to do that, because everybody around him tells him he's great. And to that point, now he already got paid, so he doesn't have the same motivation Haynesworth had. But I also don't think that he's, you know, as lazy as Haynesworth had the reputation of being. Now, I like Haynesworth, so I'm not going to call him lazy. But, I mean, Chris Mortensen, may he rest in peace. Chris Mortensen said on the draft broadcast, the day that Haynesworth was drafted, was like, well, one of the knocks on him around my sources in the league is that he's lazy. They're like, he can be Reggie White, but he's lazy. 615-737-1025. That is our phone number again. That's 615-737-1025. There is a news item out there that might affect probably not millions of you, but hundreds of thousands of you. And Ian, it might be good for you, but in the long run, I think it's bad for all of us. We'll get to that. 615-737-1025. And we'll mix in some. People want to get in phones on this, so we'll do phones next. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company, 1025, 106 through the game.
Defensive line, aside from Jeff, even in years past, it's always been a group that's been deep and a group that's had a lot of, you know, guys who have experience like DeNico. You don't have as much of that this year. What's your evaluation of some of these up-and-coming guys like McClendon and Bohanna that maybe getting more of a shot this year?
Yeah, I mean, they get their opportunity. You know, it's just like everything else. Like you said, in the past, you know, you've had a bunch of great D linemen, but even those guys at some point were young and had to prove themselves and earn a spot. And it's just the way the league rolls. You know, I don't want to say this sounds bad, but like, kind of out with the old and with the new. You know, these guys get their opportunity. And, you know, I know TK's up for the challenge. I know Big Q and Coburn, like all those guys, and Marlon Davidson. These guys want opportunities, and they're going to have the opportunity to do so. I think all these guys grew this offseason. You know, it's been good to see them run, you know, going out there a little bit ago and seeing these guys move around. And you can tell it's a different group. I think even Jeff, like, it doesn't get talked about as much, but, like, Jeff's leadership, you know, and the way he's, like, really, you know, it was always like Jeff was the leader of the D-line group. And then now you feel Jeff is not only the leader of the D-line group and the defense, but the whole team. And you feel it and you see it. And, you know, the way he goes is the way the group goes, just not in terms of on the field, but off the field as well, and how he handles his business. And so he set a great example for those guys, so they have something to follow.
Jeff's the leader of the team, Rand Carthon says, on the field, off the field, the way he handles his business, then he won't be accountable. Arden Key will be. Not a great look. I promised phones, so we'll do those. 615-737-1025, or phone lines driven by WilsonCountyCounty.com. Dre has been waiting patiently and is up next on Jeffrey Simmons. Dre, go ahead.
Man, I have a question for you, Jared. Where are you from?
Here.
Nashville.
Correct.
Okay. Man, you need to stop and drop these little hick storylines, man. Now you attacking Jeffrey Simmons. Dude, come on. Think about it from this standpoint here, Jared. I'm getting tired of this trolling because it's just so small townish. Listen here, my man. What about the offense couldn't sustain a drive running those boys in the ground?
I'm not allowed to talk about that.
No, Jeffrey, no. Jeffrey Simmons was injured the year before last and last year. Man, you can't run those boys. Man, they play nonstop because we couldn't sustain a drive. We couldn't get a first down. Give him, man, come on, man.
So you want me to make excuses for him?
I'm not making excuses, man.
Sounds like an excuse.
The league told you how good Jeffrey Simmons is. The
league
told you.
How?
And now he's number four ranked out of defensive linemen. He's number four. And you know he ought to be number two. Let's keep it real.
Do I? Because who would you rather take, him or Chris Jones?
Chris Jones.
Okay. Who would you rather have, him or Justin Madubuike?
Him.
Really?
Hands down, yes.
Even though Justin Madubuike got like 14 sacks last year?
Have you watched, dude, really?
Yes, I watched Justin Madubuike almost kill Ryan Tannehill last year. I saw that.
Oh, my God. Wow. Come on, dude. Okay. So you don't have him. You got Jeffrey Simmons, top five defensive players, and this is all you got? Man, we just had an explosive, beautiful practice. Man, pull up some of that. That's a better storyline. You and all your hicks on your station, dude. Come on.
What makes us a hick? Dre, you asked where I was from.
Yes, you're old world Nashville hicks. That's
See,
what you are.
I actually disagree.
Jeffrey Simmons.
Dre, and I appreciate the call. Here's what I think is the small town radio, which we don't do here, and that's why 102.5, the game has never been more successful than it is now. I don't think we've ever had a better lineup than we have now, and it's never been more successful. But here's why. Because the way things used to be was nobody wanted to rock the boat. Nobody wants to say, oh, they don't want the coach mad at them, and then the coach won't go on their show, and they don't want this one mad at them, they don't want that one mad at them, they don't want the... Go to New York. You ever listen to WFAN in New York? I have. They don't care. Go to Boston. See, I lived in Boston. I lived in New England for a year. That Felger and Maz program, we play their clips all the time. Guess what? They don't take it easy on those teams either. I remember in 2012, when I first started in New Hampshire, and the Patriots lost the AFC title game to the Ravens, and I was listening to the Felger and Maz program, and these people were calling in and just bitching about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and how it was time to move on from Bill, and it was time to move on from Tom and go to Ryan Mallett. And I sat there in my living room. The show was simulcast on TV on the same channel the Celtics games were on. And I was sitting there in my living room thinking, my team's quarterback is Jake Locker and their head coach is Mike Munchak. And I am listening to these people scream about Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. When I was in Louisville, there was a fork in the road moment for me. A player by the name of Akoi Agau transferred away from Louisville, and Rick Pitino threw him under the bus, and I was at that fork in the road, where on one hand, I could brush it off, shrug my shoulders, and say, oh, well, you know, Akoi Agau, who cares? He didn't play that much anyways. Or I could call it for what it was. Another failed recruiting class from Pitino. Meanwhile, John Calipari at Kentucky had the number one team in the country, and they had Carl Towns and Trey Lyles and Anthony Davis and all these guys over a four-year period that were all going on to be drafted number one in the NBA, and I'm like, which one am I going to pick? Knowing that if I had picked the route of telling it like it is, it would have pissed some people off. I found out a month ago that apparently after I did that, my co-host at the time got a call from the university in which they basically wanted me off the program. Like, because they're like, how dare he? So to me, that's big time radio, and small town radio is the coach is always right. That's small town radio. The Kentucky Wildcats. Oh, we hired Mike Pope. We're so much better than that, too. Mark Pope is our guy. That's small town radio. Real town radio to me is keeping it real. That's the difference. Woof. One texter says, acting like you don't nitpick everything and barely give any type of praise is hilarious. I give praise all the time. What are we talking about? How much praise did I give the Titans when Ryan Tannehill in 2019 took over as quarterback and Derrick Henry started running all over the league? We talked about it every day. We've talked all the time about, are the Titans being disrespected? And when I thought they were, I said it. But when I think that Jeffrey Simmons has an opportunity to be accountable, and instead won't, because he doesn't think he needs to, because they've got too many people that support the team like the last caller that only want to hear good things. And no, Jeff, you're good no matter what. Jeff, don't worry about the fact that you had 5.5 sacks last year. I think you're better than Justin Madubuike, who had 13 sacks. Jeff can't even sniff a jock of 13 sacks. What are we talking about? No, he's better than that. Oh, my God. Woo. Oh, my God. It's like, what are we talking about here, people? Come on now. I mean, come on. One texter said, preach it. Entitled whiners. I got to tell you, I talked about toxic positivity during the offseason when everything was good and everybody was doing great and everybody was, and people got mad at me then. And remember Nicholas Petitfrere, a.k.a.
PT.
He was doing great. Remember, that's what Brian Callahan told us that. He hadn't practiced once, but other than that, he's doing great. And now it's like, okay, you know, Bill Callahan's out there saying, we thought we were going to get him back earlier, but I guess we'll get him back Friday, and this we'll see. I mean, I don't know. It's like, oh, good. Another year where we have to make excuses at right tackle. And we'll see how that goes. And then I say that and people get mad. But I just have a hard time with, like, everybody's telling you they think this team stinks. Everybody's telling you that. Right? The over-unders, Vegas, all the... And yet all you want to hear is the opposite. And if I think the opposite's true, I'll say it. But I am not going to sit there and just make up things to make you feel better about your team. You can listen to another channel if you want to do that. If you want to hear stuff that just makes you feel better, if you want affirmation, you can do that. If you want information, you can listen to this show. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025 here on our program. Mo says, Jared, thanks for keeping it real. These people are sensitive. I don't know about that. I just think some people want to hear good things and other people want to hear the truth. And on this show, we tell the truth. And when somebody's playing well, somebody's good, something's a good sign. I thought a great example of this was the day they signed Mason Rudolph and Calvin Ridley. And they signed them about 20 minutes apart. And when they signed Mason Rudolph, I went off. Because I thought that was the stupidest backup quarterback decision they could have made. 20 minutes later, they signed Calvin Ridley, and I said it was a good signing. Why? Because I think one was good, and I think one was bad. If I was a homer, I would have said they were both good. If I was just looking to complain, I would have said they were both bad. But I didn't. Because, again, it's case by case here. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. I did tease this, and I said, there is something that probably affects hundreds of thousands of you. including you, Ian. This affects you.
Yes.
And it may be good in the short term for people like Ian, but I think it's bad in the long term for all of us. We'll hit it next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.
You know, we never really intended for the signal to be pulled from Xfinity. We wanted to continue a negotiation. I've actually been in the business for 44 years. I started in the regional sports network business when it first started up in the early 80s. And I've seen impasses like this many, many times in my career. And very, very rarely is a signal pulled from a provider. You know, usually you see the dance of, well, we'll give you a 48-hour extension or a 5-day extension or an 8-day extension while we continue to talk. It's highly irregular for that to have not happened here. And we are ready to talk. We're ready to get back to the table. We want to provide this great content to sports fans throughout Tennessee.
That was Jeff Ginther, the senior vice president or whatever, the guy who runs Bally Sports South. Now, he doesn't run Bally's, but he runs Bally Sports South. There is some news on the Bally's front. We on this program have been actively rooting for Bally's to die, and Bally Sports has their bankruptcy hearing at the end of the month, which I believe is tomorrow. I mean, I guess it's 2 days from now, but I think the hearing is tomorrow. And they have a very sympathetic judge in Judge Christopher Lopez down in Texas who's overseeing the case. But their financials are so bad at Bally Sports that, you know, they're so close to being just killed. And as a fan who has YouTube TV, I root for that. And for all fans, I root for that. Teams have already made backup plans. Alex Doherty reported in the Tennessean that the Predators had already had discussions. And again, this is his reporting. I have no idea if this is true or not. But that the Predators had talked to other channels about, hey, if Bally Sports dies, we're going to go on over-the-air TV for free so people can watch the games. And as a fan, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. And it looked like without Comcast, there was no way out for Bally Sports, even with a sympathetic judge. This in from Alden Gonzalez, who covers business for ESPN. Quote, Comcast and Diamond Sports Group, which is Bally Sports. Comcast and Bally Sports announced they've reached a new carrier deal today. Under the agreement, fans who subscribe to Xfinity's Ultimate TV package can watch MLB games again beginning on Thursday. That would also apply to the Grizzlies, the Predators, etc. They can also stream on the Bally Sports app using Xfinity credentials. This deal applies to Diamond's 15 regional sports networks, assuming they emerge from bankruptcy, and will apply to NBA and NHL RSNs too. This is indeed Comcast's higher, more expensive tier, which had been a sticking point in the negotiations. I'm told Xfinity customers who upgrade to Ultimate TV by August 30th will get it for free for 3 months, after which it's $20 more a month. Holy crap. You just go to the games. So essentially, if you sign up when it launches on Thursday, you can watch your baseball team for free through the end of the season. That's if you have Xfinity. Ian, you have Xfinity.
Yes.
Are you going to upgrade to Ultimate TV and pay $20 more a month?
I'm not sure. We might actually have the Ultimate TV package already. But
you guys must be billionaires.
But $20 extra a month just to watch the Preds does not sound enticing.
So when I hear this, all I can think of is no, 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 no. And here's why. Because this model for Bally Sports for how they survive doesn't exist. The reality is the RSNs for years made a fortune off of people who did not watch the games. I've told the story about my grandmother who lives in Florida. She lives out like outside of Palm Beach, and she gets the Marlins, the Panthers, and the Miami Heat. And over the last 30 years, I'm not sure she's watched one game. And she's paying like $11 a month or whatever in order to watch those teams, and she ain't watching. Like, my grandmother is not watching the Miami Heat. I'm sorry. Well, what's happened is a lot of people have gone away from traditional cable. I've gone away from traditional cable. A lot of people have gone away from traditional cable, and we don't want to pay for those channels. And a lot of people, you know, once that they realized, you know, hey, the truth is most people don't. build their purchasing of cable TV around being able to watch regular season baseball games. Most people do not do that. So what happened was these skinnier bundles where they're charging less for cable, the YouTube TVs, the slings, those, they're like, we're not going to pay a fortune in order to run these games, and we don't think enough people care about it. And they would be right. You know, I could get on here and I could say that this is bad news for the Predators. The Predators will still get paid by Bally Sports. I could say this is bad news for the Predators because we've had this long enough to know that these streamers, like me, are not going to change their purchasing habits just because Bally Sports survives for another season until they go back into bankruptcy and they get killed. They're not going to change their habits because they haven't already changed them. And so I've been rooting and rooting and rooting and rooting for this godforsaken channel with this untenable business model to die and just go away and allow us to watch the games the way we've always watched the games, which is by taking a remote control, pointing at the TV, and clicking. That's what we want to do. And they just they can't do it. And so when the Comcast negotiations came up, all Comcast wanted was to move them to a higher package because they have a lot of customers, like my grandmother, who they're not going to upgrade their TV to watch these channels that they don't care about. Well, Bally knows they can't do that because when they go to that ultimate TV channel, that not enough people are going to pay the $20 extra per month. Ian loves the Predators.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he loves them.
We do have the Ultimate TV package. We've been getting, as a RSN fee adjustment credit, $7.60.
Ah.
We've been getting, like, a little bit of a credit back for not having the RSN. But we're also getting a regional sports fee of $10.
So you're paying for regional sports, but you're not getting regional sports. So you're netting out at -3 on your regional sports
scale. Something like that. Yeah. Minus something like that, $5 plus $5.
I mean, this business model doesn't make any sense. It's time for Bally Sports to die. I want Bally Sports to die. Ian, do you want Bally Sports to die?
I mean, as long as everybody there that we like still gets a job, sure.
So, i.e., that Willie and Chris don't lose their jobs.
Correct.
Well, I mean, somebody's going to have to call the games.
Right.
And it's probably going to be Willie and Chris. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not on Bally Sports.
And there's other people in the crew, but yes.
I mean, again, it's probably just going to be the same people that are working for Bally Sports or work for whatever.
Then I'm fine with that.
Venture is. It just, it's bad for sports fans. It's bad for sports fans. The business model doesn't make any sense. There's no way long-term for this to survive. And yet, I think by Bally capitulating to Xfinity, and there's just not going to be enough people. I mean, even if you like these teams, I don't know that you'd be willing to pay $20 extra per month. And I can't make the argument. I'm not going to make the argument because it's not true. I can't make the argument that, you know, if you love the Predators, you'll pay $20 extra per month. I'm not going to do that because I think you can love the Predators without having to pay $20 extra per month. And then not only that, there's, what is it, ESPN Plus. And there's TNT, and there's all these other games that are on all these other channels you got to pay for. Like, no, no. And so I knew that if they didn't get a deal done with Comcast, and I didn't know how they were going to get a deal done with Comcast when they weren't willing to go to the higher tier, and I knew they weren't going to be willing to go to the higher tier. Because they're not going to get enough people to sign up for it. They're not going to get their subscriber fees. They're going to lose a fortune. They're going to lose their ass in this. And so I knew there was no way they'd capitulate. But ultimately, I guess they realized that not being able to go up to the judge and saying, we do not have a deal with Comcast, was not good enough. So they came up with a deal on Comcast terms that is not going to be able to keep them afloat, and it's just so they can survive for one extra year. Judge Lopez, kill him. Get rid of Bally Sports. Just end it, please, for all of us out there that want to watch the games at a fair price. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. I am going to make a deal with Titans fans. It's a choice you get to make. We'll do it next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.